This is ECTA wake-up call for January 21st and 22nd.
Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA wake-up call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you for tuning in. Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
Bob and Mary are part of our regular panel. Mary is also known as Right Wing Granny at rightwinggranny.com. We also have two guests with us today. We have Jennifer Dacey, newly elected member of the Craven County School Board District 4.
Thank you for having me. Great to see you.
Good to see you. We had a school board meeting yesterday. We're recording this Wednesday night. So school board meeting was on Tuesday morning. And I couldn't make the meeting, but I understand it was quite controversial and a lot of information there. And along with Jennifer, we also have Heather McManus. And Heather is a concerned parent that is dissatisfied, to say the least, with some of the things that are going on in our school system. So Heather, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Before we get started, I was going through backing up the files of wake up calls. So if anything else happened to my computer, I'd have all the archives on in another place. The first show we did was 9 years ago.
Wow.
So we are in our ninth year, getting ready to go into our 10th year.
Wow.
With wake-up calls. So I want you to pay attention to who our sponsors are, because most of them have been with us all 9 years that we've been on the air. Okay. And we have a lot of loyal listeners, too, and we want to thank you for that. Well, Jennifer, let's start off with this was a regularly scheduled school board meeting,
yes.
Nothing special.
Yes. Okay. Our regular work session for the month.
Okay. And one of the issues that I've heard that was controversial had to do with some library books. Can you lead us down that path?
Sure. So folks who have been paying attention and watching our school board meetings for some time might recall that last year, before I was on the board, before I was even thinking about running for the board, the board entered into a contract, $2.5 million contract with Follett Publishing to purchase new books for our libraries with ESSER money, federal COVID money. And so one of the things that I asked for, because we all sort of make requests ahead of the upcoming board meeting about what we'd like to discuss. So I was interested in an update on where that project was. So if anybody's interested, they can, you know, go. You have to dig for it a little bit, but if you find the meeting from Tuesday, January 17th, you can go and look at the media collection update. And so that was presented to the board. And there were a couple issues that we were aware of ahead of time. Myself and Lauren Kitzinger, another new board member, had been made aware of a young man in our community who had basically, and I don't know all the details, but had come into contact with some of our school librarians and had essentially been given several boxes of books that were being discarded. And we heard about this, and we actually went and picked up some of the books. And I think it's very fair to describe the books that we saw, that he and his friends have since divvied up amongst themselves, as classics. Included in the books were Charles Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities, Moby Dick, Jack London, American Short Stories, some of my favorite American literature and English literature.
Things that were required reading in many classes years ago.
Correct. Required reading. Bibles. We had a Holy Bible among the items that we brought to the meeting to actually, you know, have available so people could see, because we're just trying to figure out what's actually happening as we buy new books and then discard and or to use the terminology the librarians are using, weed out other books. So,
now, is somebody directing the librarians to do this, or is this something of their own initiative?
So it's interesting that you phrase the question that way, because so I think to answer you, I don't think there is a direction. I think it is very much their own initiative. And the statute, North Carolina statute, makes it very clear that it is the board's responsibility to have essentially final say over curriculum and materials. So acquisition is something over which we very clearly have final say. What is a little bit less clear, according to our counsel, and I haven't had time to really parse the statute myself yet, is whether or not we have final say over disposition.
Retention, yeah.
Right. So in any event, we wanted to try and understand what was happening, because these books are actively being discarded.
Some of them are almost irreplaceable, probably.
Right. Well, and these are... these are things that we just wanted to try and get some answers on, very simply. And, you know, it's interesting because when you look at the presentation they gave us, of course, they don't describe it as discarding. They describe it as weeding. But then, of course, they have, you know, different things that they sort of use in terms of weeding these books out. And, you know, they're basically saying that, you know, if the book is irrelevant to the needs and interests of the library's community would be. So, I don't know how the Bible would be irrelevant. I don't think any books relating to religion would be irrelevant to our community. I don't think any of the books that we found had been discarded would be misleading, which was another criteria they were looking at, whether or not the book was worn beyond mending. None of the books that we got our hands on were worn beyond mending.
Some were brand new.
So obviously, you know, that's disturbing. You know, at a minimum, you would think there would be a process by which we would offer these to our own students. And it so happens that the student who had these books is a homeschooled student who isn't a student in our system.
Well, it seems to me like that it wouldn't be the full responsibility of the librarians to make the decision and to take action, that it would have to be reviewed.
So there is apparently a committee, a media and technology advisory committee at every school, but it also sounds as though they are not really including parents on these committees. Now, I know that parental involvement is something we don't have enough of, but and particularly after COVID, we don't have a lot of PTOs that are really active at the moment, but it's something that we obviously need more community involvement with, and we're going to need community involvement on the front end in terms of the acquisition end, and I think also on the weeding end, clearly.
Now, not to throw gasoline on the fire too much, some.
Yeah.
But, you know, it sounds like the, quote, woke influence that these, some of the books that you're talking about, they're treating men as men and boys as boys, and mm-hmm. and that woke influence just may be somebody's attitude. But again, we shouldn't let that attitude run.
Correct. Nobody's everything. No one viewpoint should have complete control over what's in our libraries.
Right.
And I think most people who actually believe in the First Amendment should agree with that statement. And yet, I think one of my big concerns is that you'll see throughout the report, the sort of guiding institution for librarians is the ALA.
Or at least that's who they're using.
That's the American Library Association.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. And I would encourage folks to do some digging interested
into the organization,
itself. And it's.
Is that a private organization, governmental organization?
I'm not sure.
We're not sure. I have another research person who's been doing some research on it, and it's something that I think, frankly, we all need to do some more research on, but I don't think that the views of the ALA necessarily reflect the views of Craven County.
That's right, right. Unless they are in Craven County,
yes,
organization comprised
go.
Of Craven County parents.
I'm willing to bet that they have an office in D.C.
Probably
I had
so.
To guess.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was probably, that was one of the issues. And then I did also ask, because we're trying to figure out where we are in this contracting process. You know, the first round of orders have already been made because this contract was signed last year. So half of the $2.5 million, roughly half of, has already been spent.
So does the board approves that expenditure?
Yeah, it was already approved.
Do they approve the selection?
No, that has not happened. And I think one of the
Do they get to review it before they approve?
You would think.
But that's your legal responsibility.
It is. And the board has not been involved in that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, so, welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. We have some work to do. Yes. So, one of the questions I did also ask, because thankfully we've had some parents like Heather who've been really interested and concerned about what books are in our school system, and many folks who watch the news have seen parents around the country reading sections of books that are very concerning, graphically explicit in nature, books that I wouldn't want to read aloud in a group of adults, much less to minor children.
Actually, I understand they were reading it to the school board, and the school
right.
board told them, stop.
Yes, right. I watched a video of that just the other day.
Yes.
The parents were reading from the books that they were protesting about,
yes.
and the school board got up and walked out because they said, you can't use that kind of language here.
Amazing.
But you're teaching it in the classroom.
Right.
Okay.
So that kind of brings us to the question that I was getting at. So, thankfully, parents like Heather have been researching the kinds of books we have in our school libraries, and this is something that's easy to access. There's, and this was one of the questions I asked too, because you start realizing that a lot of these big companies that we are doing business with as school systems are totally vertically integrated. So Follett Publishing, from whom we purchase the books, actually also has a role in the online search database that we have for the books.
Mm-hmm.
Then they also have another service that they use to review their own books. Okay? You see where this is going?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're making money every which way.
You find the same problems in the curriculum, the
Correct.
People that produce the curriculum.
Correct.
And you can only buy the books that are actually published. And so that if they're publishing them nationwide for someone in all 50 states, or at least 49, because I know Texas has their own book generation. But so if they're creating the books for the 49 states, how do you get something that is more morally in line with your area? You're out in the cold.
Yep.
Well,
you used to have parents associations that were heavily involved in the schools. Mm-hmm. I don't think you see much of that anymore. You had community standards, which you had to follow and abide by.
Yeah.
But before we get into all that, you've convinced me that we are in a mess. So let's take a break.
Okay.
Take a deep breath and hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and let Heather tell us about what she discovered. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our guests this evening, we have Jennifer Dacey, District 4 school board member here in Craven County, and we have a concerned parent, Heather McManus. And Heather, tell us about the research that you were doing into the book situation and what you found out.
So back in October, our oldest child, who was in middle school, he's in middle school, seventh grade, he came home, and I'm just going to kind of tell the whole story of how I came upon the library books, but he came home and explained to me that his school guidance counselor came into his math class, and she told him that she wanted to talk about mental health with the class. So my child pulled out his school-issued iPad, and he recorded the entire thing and brought it home to me and showed me how the guidance counselor and the school decided to implement a mental health check-in Google Doc survey for these children to fill out every single day. So every morning, that's what they were going to do. Then, within a week, we had the panorama surveys roll out in the district. And that is another thing I was not okay with.
What is a panorama survey?
That's a whole nother show.
It is. It is. So Panorama is a company that is heavily invested in by the Chan Zuckerberg Foundation.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And they have a basically a social emotional platform where it can interface with PowerSchool and all of the learning platforms. And the students take surveys on their feelings, their thoughts, and their behaviors, and then they are given an SEL score.
Oh, no.
Social emotional learning
score.
Like a social credit score.
That's correct. And I will just mention this. One thing that we didn't know until the board meeting yesterday was that children are actually receiving specific instruction if they score a particular way on this panorama survey. So if you score a certain way, you're going to receive thought reform or behavior reform, not by a trained professional in a professional setting, but at the public schoolhouse. That's what we're doing now.
By somebody who is not qualified to do so.
And who signed off on and approved that? Or is this another instance of taking it on ourselves to do it?
Well,
I don't know the answer to that question yet, but the problem with SEL is that...
There's a lot of problems.
It's everywhere. Yes. It's everywhere, and it is in the, you know, elementary school on up. The curriculum we use is the second step curriculum.
For SEL.
Yeah. The first thing we've got to do is to get parents to stop allowing their children's data to be collected. They right. have got to opt out of all data collection.
So it's not an opt-in situation. It's an affirmative opt-out.
Yes.
Correct. So it was explained that if the child, the student, was going to be receiving this specific instruction because of their survey score from Panorama, that there would be a letter sent home for the parent to opt out.
And folks, I want y'all to understand that 99.9% of this stuff is coming down from the Department of Education.
Absolutely.
Which is a governmental department that was not authorized in the Constitution. Correct. And has little, if any, oversight over it. And it's totally a woke agenda that they're pushing, a globalist agenda that they're pushing. And the agenda is to indoctrinate your children, not to educate
them.
That's right.
Correct.
And that's not just my opinion.
No, that's a fact.
Yes. Yes. And if you are a concerned parent and you go out and start doing your research, you will be convinced of that in a very short time.
But you know, I'm also hearing that, you know, if you score a certain way on this, well, you know, that's confidential information, and we don't want to embarrass the child in front of their parents, so let's not tell the parent.
That's right. So I was speaking with a friend about the mental health check-in surveys, and my child came up to me hearing the conversation I was having, and he said to me, "Mom, the reason they don't tell the parents is because if the child's being abused, their parent is going to abuse them more if they find out they're taking surveys at school." This is what my 12-year-old came up to me unprovoked and said. So he's hearing this at school.
Right. He had to have that idea implanted by somebody.
Right. So those two events happened. And then I had been hearing about the library books in all parts of the country. I knew that we had a way to check all the libraries in our school system. So I decided to start doing that one morning and came upon one particular book. It's called This Book is Gay, and it was at the Grover C. Fields Middle School Library. And I say was purposefully because now if you go to look for that book at the library, it's no longer there. So at some point...
But we don't know where it is.
That's exactly the question, yes.
You can. So they have a way to tell. They will post if it's lost, if it's checked out, or, you know, something of that nature. The book does not come up at all. It does not populate when you search it. So
I actually spoke to somebody who works in another district about this today, and his immediate response to me was that he suspects it is probably now in a special section.
Oh.
They have special sections.
Apparently.
That aren't listed in the...
Well, it's a little odd, but I think we're going to have to get to the bottom of that because we know that there were some books, such as the one that Heather's mentioned, that we identified as being present in our libraries this summer or earlier this fall, and now they are no longer there.
Well, let me ask you this.
So I don't know if they were worried that, you know, I was coming on the board and they needed to go hide the stuff or what?
As a citizen, are you allowed to walk in off the street and ask to review the library?
No.
Why?
Because in order for a person to get access to the school, you would have to go through the background check process in order to be considered I don't know the technical term for it, but allowed to be in the school with the children, basically. They need to make sure that you have a clean criminal report.
Corey report, I guess, is what it was.
Well, you've got teachers teaching that aren't clean. You have sex offenders teaching classes that couldn't pass a background check.
You're not supposed to.
That's
because
right.
We don't hire them without that.
Well, they're arresting them all the time.
Yeah, not too long ago, I do remember that happening.
Yeah. So if I go through that background check, then I...
You can volunteer at the school.
Yeah.
No, I just want to go in and check the library. I pay for the library.
That's right.
Okay. And my kids are all out of school, and all my grandchildren also. So I'm not a parent of school-age children, but I am affected by what the children that are going there are learning, because they're going to grow up to be my mayor or my governor or maybe my doctor or my lawyer or what. They're going to come out of that school with an education that may not benefit the community.
That's right.
Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. So this particular book is very graphic in explaining to young men how to become comfortable with homosexual sex. And it literally gives them pictures and tells them, I don't know what, because I've not, you know, I do know I'm not going to, you know, get into that here. But it is very graphic, very disturbing. And I was like, I cannot. I was already questioning sending my children to the public schools as it was. And I knew that I was going to, I knew it was coming. I didn't know when the moment would be. But when I saw that book was in the library, by Monday, they were out.
Wow.
It was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak.
Absolutely. And so I went through...
So you've taken your kids out of public school.
That's correct.
But you're still attending the school board meetings and doing the research and...
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're trying to help change the process for other parents that are out there.
Yes. And I'm grateful. I mean, I don't think that... I don't think we would be as well equipped to do what we need to try and do on this board without people like Heather. Because she's been such an involved and active parent for quite a long time. And so, I mean, I had somebody else raise a question for me about the virtual academy. And I was like, well, okay, Heather's going to know when that meeting happens, so she can help me figure out where that document is. So there are just a lot of things like that, you know. We really need active, engaged parents and people going to these meetings, because it's a lot of information
that we are
trying to get from folks in the system, and then we have to try and weed through that and go back and ask more questions.
And folks, listen to what Jennifer's saying and garner just how important this is, because it's not an easy job to navigate this convoluted system that the government has put in place, especially when they don't want you to navigate it. So these board members that you have elected to go there and straighten it out and muddle through the mess and try to get answers could use all the help they possibly could. You can sit at home on your computer and do research that will benefit them. Mm-hmm. Give them a call. Tell them, look, I'm willing to help. Tell me what you're looking for, and I'll spend some time trying to help you with that.
Yeah. And, you know, it sounds strange, but if we all look back, I'm going to look back a simple 28 years. When a president of the United States says it depends on what the definition of is. You folks have the hard problem of asking the correct question.
Yes.
And that won't come easily, because they're going to weasel around the answer.
Right. No different than when they asked for a presentation on where we are at with the library book contract. The presentation that was given was a bunch of fluff. It was a bunch of...
This is how we go about doing these things.
Yeah.
Well, this is the ALA, and here's how we define these words and that words, which is really important that they opened up that door, so that way now we can ask them to define some other words that are going to be key to have definitions for. But
well, fluff is a good word to use, because my observation in attending board meetings in the past is that the majority of the meetings are just that. Matter of fact, the board meetings that are held in the evening when the parents can attend are purposely designed to start out with fluff, giving awards, pats on the back, showing how great we're doing at this or how great we're doing at that, recognizing kids from different schools and all, which is all good, except what happens is they use the first half of the meeting to do that, and then when it comes time to get down to business, they take a 15-minute break. In that time period, the parents take their kids, who they have to get ready for school the next day, and they vacate the building. So now you're left with just a couple or a small handful of interested citizens. Most all the parents are gone.
Yep.
And that's done by design for a reason. I have suggested numerous times that those meetings be two different meetings.
Agree.
That board meeting, business meeting, public meeting should be just for handling the business. The awards meeting should be a different day, a different time, maybe do it at a school.
And that's what we've been really, you know, talking about doing. That's what I would like to do. I think that kids are really deprived of being honored in front of their peers if they are being recognized at a board meeting.
Right.
And the claim was, oh, well, we did a survey 20 years ago, and, you know, everybody thought it would be great to do it at the board meeting. Okay, well, maybe it's appropriate for some things, but it's certainly not something that we need to do at every board meeting. And right. So, you know, this is the one opportunity that people who work have to come and speak before the board and give public input, and that should be, you know, something we get to as quickly as we can in the meeting ahead of any votes that might be on the agenda for that evening, so we can get that public input before the votes.
Right. And now that you mentioned that, didn't you initiate a motion or something?
So I did. I asked that we go ahead and make some changes to our public input policy, the most significant of which is basically a removal of a total time limit on public input. So as it stands today, the public input policy allows only 30 minutes of total public input. And it's my feeling that, you know, you sign up for this job. Part of what that involves is listening to as much public input as there is, right? I don't think anybody should be deprived of giving public input. I did also include some other additions, and that is because I do want it to, I want to circumscribe a little bit who is eligible to give public input, because we did have an occasion when we had a member, a person who was tangentially involved in our school system but did not live in our district and was not an employee, come and do what I viewed as grandstanding at our board meeting. And there, you know, there have been other instances when other elected officials have gone to Board of Education meetings in other counties, and I don't think they have a right to speak there. They're not a taxpayer. They're not a business, you know. So I laid out, and I'm happy to share those with you, but it's essentially anybody who lives in this county, or anybody who used to work in this school system and no longer lives in this county. So it's those sorts of things. But for the most part, I just want us to be as open about public input as possible.
Right. Well, now, some of those people may have valuable input, but then it should be that they are allowed there by invitation only.
Correct.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, anybody can email us at any time.
Yes.
But, you know, being able to stand up and speak at a board meeting is an important right and opportunity.
Well, as so often happens, I think this train jumped the track. So let's get back to Heather over here. Oh, no.
So I noticed the books in my child's library, and I took screenshots of all of them because I did this from the, you know, the ease of my telephone, very simple. And I just was like, well, let me just start at the top. So I went through every single elementary school, every middle school, and every high school. I took screenshots of everything. I did general searches for things like sexuality, homosexuality, transgender, gender identity. I even did a search for slavery, just to see if we're really willing to offer both sides. Three books in my general search of our library predate slavery in the colonization of America, basically. That's it. Just three books.
Wow.
So talk about getting a skewed perspective there.
Right. So that's a good question there. Are you seeing that there's an attempt to remove the history and replace it with newer?
I don't think that they are giving a complete picture of history. And that was really more my focus. I just wanted to know, okay, well, you know, right. That's fine if you're going to have, you know, slavery in America books, but we need to understand that slavery is, you know,
predated America.
And Jesus.
Right.
So let's be serious. Let's give the whole picture.
And unfortunately, it's still going on.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's take another quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have Jennifer Dacey, school board member in Craven County, District 4, and Heather McManus, a concerned parent. But Heather, you told us that you pulled your kids out of the public school system. Did you feel like you had a voice in the system before you pulled them out?
No, not really. I have been...
Did you attend the school board meetings on a regular basis, or did that start after you discovered what was going on?
I have been attending school board meetings regularly for a year and a half at least.
Longer than that.
I was trying to be longer than that
because we really... You were going already when I started going during COVID.
Mm-hmm. So 2 years at least?
Probably.
Before you pulled them out of school?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went and started speaking because of the masking that was happening. But I was also learning simultaneously about the social emotional learning that was happening in the schools and the curriculums, the platforms, how all of that was being, you know, infiltrating our school system.
And what kind of reception and response did you get?
Well, I got my 5 minutes to speak my piece. I got 2 replies from the chairperson via email, and that's it. I've been talking to them repeatedly about the unsafe way the school-issued devices are set up. My oldest child was able, he was... watching a YouTube video about a video game, Minecraft, and a sexually explicit ad popped up, a TikTok video, and he was able to watch that. Nothing ever came of it. So I turned the school-issued device in, and he did just fine. I think parents are scared to give back the device. So a lot of parents, even my neighbors, I asked them, I said, do you know why your kid brings that iPad home? We figured the school wanted to save money on electricity, so they want us to charge it for them at night. Literally was the response that I got from my neighbors. They had no idea why their kid, you know, in that time, first grade, was bringing home an iPad every single night. So I've spoken about the unsafeness of the devices, the lack of learning that my child is receiving, the detriment the masks played in our life. I have spoke about a wide array of topics, and it's basically I go in there and I speak for 5 minutes, and I walk out the door and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Children are still able to access sexually explicit inappropriate material on the iPads. Our children still can barely write. Because they're not writing. Parents have no idea the kind of work that their children are doing because they don't see anything come home with their children. And when you do for the first time, it's shocking, I can assure you, because for me, it was very alarming.
Well, you've just exposed a very, very critical issue with our school systems. And that's the fact that there are so many parents out there that, to quote what you said, have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's a big problem. And that's one that needs to get solved. And the only way it's going to get solved is when parents do like you did and get involved and pay attention to, and start asking questions, start digging and investigating like you've done, and uncover what's really going on there.
Yeah.
And then shine some light on it and share it like you're doing now, and get other parents involved and sound the alarm, folks. It's really no reason for you to be in the dark about what's going on in your child's life. In the critical years of learning, especially at those younger years, you're turning them over to the government to raise your child, and you're assuming that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
And all of the data indicates that they're not at all doing what they're supposed to
right.
be doing, right? We're failing in many, many regards at what, you know, we used to be able to focus really clearly on the basics of reading and writing and math. And we're not doing the writing part nearly the way that we need to be doing. And we basically learned and have some examples, unfortunately, of some situations where reading intervention is supposed to be happening, and instead we have students who are being given an iPad to do Lexia, which is an app that really...
It's an educational app.
Is an educational app. This is not substitute for human interaction
right.
and teaching by a reading intervention.
Well, there's so much... There's so many... pieces of evidence out there on a daily basis, like you ride by billboards and the grammar and the spelling are incorrect on something somebody's spending thousands of dollars a month to advertise their company or their product, and it's incorrect, and it stays up there for months and months and years. So even the people running the company aren't aware of the fact that it's wrong.
I have to interject there because obviously our teachers and our educators and our board members really need to be leading by example with regard to this, in my opinion. And I could have pointed this out. I declined to do so. But in the presentation on media that I received yesterday, if my mother had been editing this, my English teacher for 20 plus years mother, she would have written WW next to a line in the presentation because the educator who put it together used the wrong word in the particular context. It was not the right spelling of the word she intended.
Yep, and you see that so often.
It is a very common thing. And unfortunately, you know, Heather's discovered, now that she's got her son in a different school, that his writing, an A student, this is the best of the best that we're producing in our middle schools. And she is appalled at his writing and is basically going to get him some writing help to get him caught up so that he's up to speed with writing a paragraph.
A complete sentence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And honor roll student. For 3+ years, he tested in the top 10 in the entire state for his grade level. He was in the new plus classes, which are like your advanced classes for math and for his English, in seventh grade. He can't write a complete sentence.
Yep.
Well, that is.
But I think don't you also see in the days of electronics and and a web page, and that some of the writing, just they'll present something and say, check off the one you think is right, and you don't actually have to write something.
Correct.
You just have to check off the one that looks better.
And that's how all of the state testing is.
Yep.
They don't have to physically write anything down as a part of their test. And when they tell you they're teaching our children cursive, the teachers, I'm sure, would love to teach the children how to write cursive. And I'm sure they would love to teach them how to write complete sentences. But it's not what the children get tested on. And it's not what the teachers receive their effectiveness grade on. So they're not teaching them that. Okay, I had to teach my child how to sign his own name,
mm-hmm.
and he still can't read cursive, but we're working on it. So there's a lot, where they, we teach cursive. Walk into any classroom. I challenge any board member, walk into any classroom, they're supposed to have learned it by sixth grade, and ask the class to sign their name in cursive, and I would bet my home that the entire class can't do it.
Right.
I am aware of a young child who recently won a major league baseball contract, and he spent his time at home learning how to sign his name because he had, now this is a guy that's going into the minor leagues, but he had never signed his name on anything. Help.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned technology, Bob. Technology is a wonderful thing.
Mm.
I'm an IT specialist. I've been involved in technology since my preteen years. I built radios and test equipment, Heath kits and all that with my dad, and have always been employed in a technical field. So I know a lot about technology, and I see both sides of it. It's a good thing to supplement, but when you take it like using a calculator instead of using your brain,
mm-hmm.
I think they should still be required to learn their multiplication tables and, all those things. So if we do have an EMP and all our electronics are wiped out, we'll be able to survive.
Right.
But they're not doing that. And to make matters worse, the next step has already hit us, and that's artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I watched some videos, news stories on a number of the major publications now. They're not writers that are writing. It's artificial intelligence. It's evolved to the point that they can let it write the news stories, and it does a better job than some of their reports.
Right. And if you're concerned about what's going to happen to our workforce now, just wait till the artificial intelligence gets a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about exactly what that looks like.
Well, actually, it's better than a lot of people realize right now.
It is. Oh, yeah, it definitely is. But
it's I don't know if you're familiar with the deep fake videos and movies and stuff. They actually have completed a number of movies where the main actor or actress died and before the movie was completed. And with artificial intelligence and deep fake the graphics, they can go in and totally create that person and finish the movie.
That's right.
That means they can show a video of you, mm-hmm. if they've collected
enough video,
right?
Yeah,
of you robbing a store, committing a crime, and send you off for life.
Right.
No different than Jim Cantore gives all of the weather updates on the 8s now for the Weather Channel, but it's just his voice. Obviously, he didn't sit there and do every single town.
Right.
It's total artificial intelligence.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
just don't go where Jim Cantore goes.
That's right.
So that's why it's so important, folks, for you to know what's going on, because our world is changing rapidly. And if you don't keep up with what's going on, you don't know what's happening to your child, what they are being taught, what they're not being taught. And there's going to come a day you're not there to support them anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. They're going to have to make it on their own.
Yeah, and I do want to say, since we've raised SEL and it is a huge topic really for a whole nother show, if anybody's interested in learning about it, Heather and I have gone down this rabbit hole pretty deep now. And there's really an expert by the name of James Lindsay, who has a YouTube channel, and it's he's also at newdiscourses.com. And I know he has given a lot of different lectures on different topics, everything from diversity, equity, and inclusion to SEL and sort of its origins, which are interesting and frightening all at the same time.
All right. All right, well, let's take another quick break, and we'll come back and wrap the show up.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have Jennifer Dacey with us and Heather McManus. And Heather, as we wrap up the show, can you just give us one thing, if you could pick one thing that you think would help improve the situation in public schools, what do you think the most important thing would be?
The most important thing would be for parents to become involved in what is going on in their children's education, hands down. Know what's going on in your child's education. Ask questions. Pay attention to what's going on at the school board meetings. And be involved.
Be involved. I agree with you 100%. And folks, it's so easy to let some of these people talk to you with a big smile and be pleasant, mm-hmm. and pat you on the back and tell you what they want you to hear. take the time to verify.
That's right.
Take the time to check it out for yourself. Mm-hmm. They may tell you this is what's going on, but you need to verify what's really going on. So as Heather suggests, get involved, stay involved, attend meetings, ask questions, give your input. You get 5 minutes. You can go up there and speak your piece. Take advantage of that as a citizen. And you're the parent. You're the one most responsible for your child. Don't delegate that responsibility. Go ahead and take care of it yourself. All right, Jennifer.
Yes, sir.
Final remarks.
Well, we've just scratched the surface in this discussion.
We'll get you back.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm happy to come back anytime. But I would second what Heather said. We really need more community involvement, more parental involvement. When you consider everything that our school system touches and everything that we're involved with, it's everything from technology to personnel to data collection. If you have an interest or some expertise and you're willing to help, there's something for you to do to help us try and make the system better. And if you're interested in being, you know, that could be serving as a substitute, which is a whole issue in and of itself, you know, or teaching in our system.
Again, getting involved.
Getting involved.
Getting involved.
That is the key.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here this evening, and we look forward to having you back again in the future. Mary, you've got an education meeting coming up. Mary is now chairman of CCTA. We meet the third Tuesday of every month. We have public meetings that are open to the public, and the February meeting is what, Mary?
February 21st will be a panel of four concerned citizens who have followed the school board over in recent years. Heather is one of them, and they will be a panel. They have questions that they will be answering that they were given ahead of time, but they will also be taking questions from the audience. And the goal is to find the things that we need to do to improve our schools.
Right.
Because we have some failing schools in Craven County, and we need to deal with that.
So, folks, CCTA, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, is a nonprofit, nonpartisan group that has been heavily involved in this fight for a number of years. We went to Raleigh many times as we were fighting against Common Core, and we continue that. And you are invited to come and join us at this public meeting and have your voice heard, as well as hearing the voices of these concerned parents. Well, that's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you for tuning in to CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.